was in shackles, my spirit broken down. The dreams I'd once soared had come crashing to the ground.
But when the Savior came knocking,
and when I let him in, he picked up the pieces, made me over again.
Ever since he came,
since Jesus came and pardoned every sin,
I'm not the same.
I'm not the same. No, I've been born again.
I'll tell the world.
I'll tell the world of peace and love I've found, and sing of true joy that abounds ever since he came. His hands made the heavens, his word made the seas, his voice sets the compass on the face of the deep.
But when I
knelt at the altar,
and from
sadness I cried, his hand gently wiped every tear from my eye.
Ever since he came,
since Jesus came and pardoned every sin,
I'm not the same.
I'm not the same. No, I've been born again.
I'll tell the world.
I'll tell the world of peace and love I've found, and sing of true joy that abounds ever since he came.
Ever since he came,
since Jesus came and pardoned every sin,
I'm not the same.
No, I've been born again.
I'll tell the world.
I'll tell the world of peace and love I've found, and sing of true joy that abounds ever since he came. And sing of true joy that abounds
ever since he came.
Amen. Good job, men. That was a blessing. And I enjoyed watching you as they were singing because you enjoyed it too. I love to see smiles on the faces of people when someone is singing to the Lord because it's blessing your heart and your life as well. Let me get that out of my way. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. By the way, the needs of the family that experienced the fire, and we ask you to bring material for them, there is a list now out on the table in the foyer, and I hope every one of you that can will go by and take an item needed and make a note of it and that you've taken that and bring it to them or to the office so it can be given to that family. I'm sure Brother Todd will say something else about it at the conclusion of the service, but there is a list out here so that I'm fearful when we ask you to bring something and we mention towels. Everybody will go buy towels and they can dry off after a bath, but they can't eat. And so this way needs can be met and we can be a little extra special blessing by meeting some special needs. And thank you, Brother Ward, for doing that. And thank you, people, in advance for getting involved in that. And then in the morning, our young people and youth workers will be leaving here, headed to Hill Country and Comfort, Texas, and youth camp for a week. Now, we need your prayers for them. We need you to pray for safety. We need you to pray for the mechanical operation of the buses, that they'll run without difficulty. And, you know, we're grateful to God. For the last several years, we've had no mechanical problems going and coming from camp. Now, that's not always been so in the 22 years we've been going to camp from here because we've left some on the side of the road before. But thank God for His buying and providing good buses and Brother Barlow keeping them well maintained, and we trust that'll be the situation again this year, that they'll have no difficulty. But more importantly, we need you to pray for our campers. We've got a great number of younger campers this year, and that's not bad. We thank God for hearts that are tender and can be molded, and We want you to pray for Brother Lassiter as he leads the camp. This will be his first time at leading senior camp. Many of the kids going were with him in junior camp, so they know what to expect. But pray for Brother Ballard as he comes to preach. He is driving down from Iowa to be there in the camp, and pray for his safety and pray that God will use him greatly. And pray for God to speak to hearts, and major decisions will be made in their lives. Oh my, what a great opportunity at camp for us to make commitments and decisions for God that will affect us for the rest of our life. Now, I wonder how many of you would commit with me to make some time every day and pray for our campers while at youth camp, for their safety, but also for their spiritual well-being, that God will do a work in their heart and they might come home with a closer walk with God. I wonder how many of you would commit with me, "Preacher, I'm going to take time daily and pray for our campers that God will work in their hearts and lives." Isn't that encouraging? And I know it'll be encouraging to our youth workers. They're thanking God already that somebody's praying for them going to camp. All right, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Stand with me out of love and respect for God's Word, if you can stand. If not, then read silently as we begin to read in verse number 1. We'll read through verse 17. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses." Moses is like most of you. He probably wouldn't have heard God the first time, so God just said, "Moses, Moses." Called him twice by name. And Moses said, and he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And therefore, behold, the cry of the people of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you, and this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. We'll leave off reading there, and I want us to go back and look at verse number 4 for the basis of our message tonight. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, the man who said yes to God. The man who said yes to God. Boy, it seems only right when the God of creation and the God of redemption speaks to us that we ought to say yes to Him. But we don't. Thank God Moses did. And I want to talk to you tonight on that subject, the man who said yes to God. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. Give me liberty to preach. Empower me with Thy Holy Spirit that I might bring this message in such a plain and simple way that every person can leave here with the meaning and understanding that God in heaven is concerned about each one of us and His will for our life. It's not just Moses and a few others that God has chosen to speak to. If we will listen, He will speak to every one of His children, making known His will and plan for their life. Help us to learn that truth tonight. And Lord, when You speak to us, teach us as Moses to be quick to say, here am I, here am I. Now, Lord, I need Your help. Fill me and use me, and we thank You in advance for what You shall do in this service to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we think about Moses, we think about his mighty leadership and influence in the history of Israel and Egypt. Tonight we've read this passage dealing with the call of God in the life of Moses. God called him. And I want to emphasize right up front in this message that God's will for your life is not one whit less important to God's plan. God's will for your life is no less important to God's plan. I promise you, God's will for your life has to do with people in some way. People. People that God can use you to bless, to help, to lead to Him, to teach, to be an example, and on and on and on. Moses was called to go to a people and deliver them from bondage. In verses 2, 3, and 4, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now go turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And boy, he gave the right answer. And he said, here am I. Now, consider what would have been the outcome in Moses' life had he said it was that burning bush wasn't real. God's calling him wasn't real. It was just a mirage. Why, we might have never heard of Moses. God's call in his life made a difference in the rest of his life when he said, "Here am I." Why, he had just been another insignificant shepherd watching over a flock of sheep in the backside of the desert. The greatness of Moses' life is wrapped up in the fact that God called him and he answered God's call with a yes. "Here am I." The great record of miracles and leadership of the life in the life of Moses would never have been listed in the record book of history had Moses not been concerned about God's call and submissive to God's call and obedient to God's call. Tonight for our message, for a few moments, I want us to consider seven facts about God's dealing with Moses, the man who said yes to God. Number one, God had to first get him in a place where Moses would listen to God when he spoke to him. He had to get him into a place where Moses would listen to God when he spoke. Verse 1 and 2, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert." Now let me tell you, that's not how he was raised. He was raised in the courts of Pharaoh in Egypt. He was taught in the best schools of Egypt. He was trained to be the successor to Pharaoh on the throne of Egypt. And yet, God had to take him out of that setting and put him in the backside of the desert before he would tune in and listen to God when he spoke to his heart. While Moses was in the bright lights of Egypt, he was too preoccupied to hear God. While in Egypt, Moses depended on his own ability and not on God. God allowed circumstances to occur in his life that caused him to alter his plans and run to a quiet and desert place where God could get his attention. God had to get him to the place where he'd listen to God when he spoke. God just might be working in your life in such a way to get your attention. Have you ever stopped to think that what's going on in your life may be more than just coincidences? It may be more than just sickness. It may be more than just some financial problem going on in the world. God may be trying to get you in a place where he can get your attention. Isn't it amazing when everything's going fine, we don't pray a lot, and we don't depend on God a lot, and we don't read our Bible a lot. Well, we depend on us. We depend on our pocketbook. We depend on our own ability. We think our job's never going to play out, and our money's never going to run out, and our health is never going to fail. We just feel like we don't need God. I wonder if old Moses, while in Egypt, thought he could do it on his own. Why, he fought with an Egyptian and killed him and buried him in the sand and then had to run for his life. And it was the backside of the desert where God brought him to the place where he had time to listen to that voice. Is God doing anything in your life? Is anything going on in your life out of the ordinary? Is God trying to get your attention? Has he been speaking and you've not been listening? Don't discount the things that are happening to you that seem to be a disappointment or discouragement to your pre-made plans. God might be saying, "I want you to listen to me." And by the way, God has every right to interrupt our plans to reveal his will for our life at any time and any way he feels he needs to. I'm simply saying to you, you better tune your ear in on that right frequency so when God speaks, you won't miss it. God first had to get him in the place where he had listened to God. Secondly, notice the scene that stopped Moses in his life as a shepherd. In verse 2, 3, and 4, again, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn. It wasn't consumed. Moses said, "That's so unusual. I'm going to turn aside to see it." And when the Lord saw that he stopped and turned aside, God spoke to him out of the burning bush. "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here am I." Let me tell you, it's smart when God speaks to say, "Here am I." Lord visited with him. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in that burning bush. And I want you to know, God still speaks to people today. Men, women, boys, and girls. God still speaks to man in different ways. I remember when God spoke to my heart about preaching the Word of God. God used the preaching of the Word and the Holy Spirit of God to bring such conviction on me about preaching the Word of God in the midst of a Sunday morning church service that I thought I was going to die. And I did nothing. I played the fool. I did like some of you. I didn't say, "Here am I." They dismissed and I went home. And I was the most miserable thing all afternoon. I was careful going home. I thought I'd kill myself before I get home or God strike me dead. And on the way home, I promised God if he'd give me one opportunity to get back to church that night, I would fall on my face at the altar and I would give my life to God to preach the gospel. I heard that voice speak to my heart in my life. God had to put me in a place where I could listen to him. God stop me. It'd be great if we just stop and listen every now and then. He speaks to others through tragedies that occur. Go through the Bible and look at different people that how God dealt with them to get their attention. He got the attention of the church at Corinth because many were getting sick and dying because of the misuse of the Lord's Supper. Paul wrote about it, warned them. He spoke to David at a graveside where his little son died and was buried. Oh, that's a terrible price to have to pay for a rebellious, sinful heart. And I think it would do us good to ask the question, what will it take to bring us to that place where we'll hear God and answer him, "Here am I." What price are you willing to pay to go on in sin? To ignore God when he speaks to hearts? God still speaks to our heart. He speaks to some through financial reverses. When God speaks, we will know it's God. And like Moses, we'd better come aside to listen. That's not the time to run. That's the time to stop and make yourself available to him. Hey, you do understand saved people tonight. You understand if you're saved, when God is dealing with you, he's not trying to hurt you. God is not a God that says, "I'm going to get even with you." He's trying to get us back to the place where we can be in fellowship with him and have his blessing once again on our life. He's not trying to hurt us. God's call in our life and God's will for our life is to put us in the place of greatest blessing, greatest power, greatest usefulness, and greatest protection. If we'd just learn to listen and obey. How often has God spoken to you? If you're saved and you have any kind of spiritual life, I'm here to tell you God has tried to speak to you about his will for your life. Have you ever said, "Here am I"? Have you ever even acknowledged that it's God speaking? Well, it's just indigestion. You better stop. Something's wrong if God speaks and you don't recognize Him. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I mean, His sheep recognize that it's God when He speaks. You see, what God wants when He speaks to us is not to hurt us. He wants to reveal His will for our life. He wants to have sweet fellowship with us on a daily basis. He cares about every detail of our life and our family. If we just listen to Him and say, "Lord, here am I." He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of His Word. God is trying to get in touch with His children. I want you to know, God's a lot easier to get a hold of than some of His children are sometimes. Thirdly, I want you to notice the step that changed Moses' life. Verse number 3, the Bible says, Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. He said, "I'll now turn aside and see this great sight." Now, I want you to consider how much destiny there is in one thought, one act, one deed. Because he said, "I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight." It affected the rest of his life. God saw him turn aside and God called to him out of the bush. And Moses said, "Here am I." Had Moses passed on by, his name perhaps would never have been known. He would have missed God's purpose and God's will for him, his life. And the entire world would have been affected if he had not stopped and answered God. Listen to me. I wish you could understand this and believe this. For every call of God in a person's life, there is a class, a church, a people, a family that God has in mind your life helping and affecting for His sake. God doesn't call you for no purpose. Jesus came into this world and suffered and bled and died for people. And God's call in our life has to do with His will about us ministering to others, to people. When God calls a young man to preach, they may not know who that people is, but God's got a church somewhere in mind for them. He's got a people in mind. When God calls a young man to the mission field, there is a people somewhere God has waiting on him there on the mission field. When God calls you to teach, there's a Sunday school class and people waiting on your life to get into the will of God and submissive to the will of God. God's speaking to you about the bus ministry. Don't you understand that when God speaks to you, He has in mind boys and girls and men and women that need to be reached with the gospel? There's people out there that will be affected one way or the other by our decision when God calls. Ah, but thank God He did turn aside. He stepped out of the backside of the desert into a life where His name has been recorded in the book that will never die. A book that is as eternal as God. One of the heroes of the faith. And it all started when he said, "Here am I. Here am I." My, my. Please understand that God does not need me and you. No more than He needs our money. Just as God has put together a plan where we can give our tithes and offerings And that will put us in a place where we can be blessed by God. He's devised a plan where He has chosen to use us. He could have made rocks cry out the gospel. He could have sent angels and cherubims and seraphims to cry out the gospel. But God said, no, I'm going to die for sinners, and I'm going to use redeemed sinners for that purpose. And it is God's eternal plan that He uses us. And I want to say again, when God speaks to you, He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to get you in a place where He can bless you and where your life can have meaning and purpose and direction. He's chosen to give us the privilege of being a part of His eternal work. And I want to say to those of you that have said, here am I. God doesn't deserve token service. He deserves our best. And let me say, as I've often said, He does not expect us to be the best. But He expects us to do our best for Him. Less than our best is never good enough, no matter how good it is. And our best is always good enough, no matter how poor it is. But God wants our best. Our best. And oh my, what God can do in a person's life when they hear that call and say, here am I. Thinking about the 45 years I've been preaching the gospel, a nobody out of Myrtle Springs, Texas, coming from a family of nobody important, just sharecroppers. Just a nobody. No extraordinary abilities except orneriness and rebellion. And the thing that made a difference in my entire future was God called. God called. You know where it started? It didn't start preaching the gospel. It started in a Sunday school class where God wanted me to teach. I'd never told my wife that God was dealing with me about preaching the gospel. Not until I knelt at an altar to make that surrender, and she knelt beside me and said, I know what you're doing. God's called you to preach, and I want to surrender my life with you. But she said, I knew it. I knew it because your lessons were turning to sermons in the Sunday school classes. And they've kind of been that way ever since. But to think of where God has allowed me to go and where He's allowed me to preach and what He's allowed to happen in my life, all because He called me and I said, here am I. Here am I. Now for these last 23 years almost, God has given me the privilege to stand here and be the pastor of this great church. I'd have never thought, you go back to home, down there in East Texas, and they're surprised that I preach the gospel. Some come and visit every now and then because they don't believe it. They wouldn't be surprised if I ended up in jail or living under a bridge. But they're surprised that I stand in front of a congregation to preach the Word of God. And the miracle of it is not my ability, because I have none. The miracle of it is God called one day, and I said, here am I. And as I look out over this congregation, I am so concerned, because all of a sudden it's got popular among some of you not to answer God when He calls. You see, being a preacher is not big stuff anymore. It seems to be bigger stuff to say no to God if He calls or do nothing. I wonder how many of you have heard that voice call your name and you just went on. You went on. You're missing the greatest part of your life. You're missing the greatest adventure of your life. You're missing the greatest blessings of your life. You're missing the greatest protection and power in your life. Then I want you to consider who it is that's doing the calling. Look at verse number 4 again. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. God called unto him. It's the Lord God, and the Lord God still calling out men and women by name to serve him today. Moses, Moses. I wonder if you've ever heard him speak your name. See, many don't respond today as quickly as others in times past, when hearts were more tender and lives were not so hardened by sin as it is today. Sin's more popular today among Christians than it was 50 years ago or 20 years ago. Sin is practiced openly today by Christians. Today, the devil's not attacking churches, he's joining them. See, Christianity's a mess today, and churches are a mess because of sin and worldliness. It's rampant. And our hearts are hardened. And when God calls, we don't answer. Can you imagine? I can understand if I called and you didn't answer. But the number one being, the number one power, person, supreme, glorious, marvelous of all eternity, God, he calls. And we won't answer him. Why, somebody a little popular in the youth group will call you and you'll turn quickly to them as though they're more important than God. Some little girl will bat their eyes at some of you dingbat boys and you forget who your mama and daddy are. But when God, the God of glory, the God that spoke everything into existence and sustains everything by the power of his omnipotence, the God that created you and the God that provided redemption for you speaks, you won't have the audacity to give him your attention. Oh my. It's God speaking. It's God speaking. I'm convinced that many burning bushes today go unnoticed. We're too busy, too filled with self-interest. We've got our own plans to consider and don't have time for God and his plans. We miss the purpose for which we were brought into this world. I want you to know God is calling you to do a job for him. Every member of this church ought to have a ministry in this church. Nobody ought to come just to sit. I mean, if your ministry is nothing more than being a faithful, fervent prayer warrior daily for workers and teachers and preachers and staff, you ought to do it knowing that it's God's will for your life. It's God that calls us and gives us opportunity to serve him. God is calling men and women today just like he did Moses. If we'd be honest and answer God's call, we wouldn't have to beg people to work in the bus ministry. We'd never have a vacancy in a Sunday school class. There'd never be a church without a preacher. There'd never be a people without a missionary. If we just be honest and answer God's call when he speaks to us. We have forgotten that it's not the preacher call. Well, I don't care what Brother Smith says. I'm not surrendering. It's not Brother Smith that's calling. I'm just a voice. I'm just a servant. I'm just a minister. It's God that's calling. Moses could have said, like some of you, I don't care what that bush says. But it wasn't the bush. It was God. It was God. And God still speaks to His people about His will for our lives. And Moses gave him the answer. He gave him the right answer. He said, here am I. Why, in that answer, he was kind of saying, I'm presenting myself to you. You called, here I am. I'm yours. It's like Saul on the road to Damascus when he got saved. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Before he ever got up out of the sand, he was committing himself to the will of God. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if that was our spirit and our attitude? Moses gave his answer, here am I. Now, at first, Moses questioned the call of God. And I can understand that. I question the call of God in my life, just like Moses. Why? Are you sure you're calling me? You say, why would he do that? Because Moses knew his frailties. He knew who he was. He knew his sins. He knew his inabilities. Others seemed more qualified around him. But God said, Moses, Moses, I want you. And Moses gave the right answer. Here am I. Moses also knew that God made no mistakes and that God knows best. So he obediently said, here am I. And I want you to know God knows better. He knows what's best for our lives better than you know what's best for your life. To ignore God is to say no. And to say no to God removes your life from the perfect will of God and what is best for you and your family. And then sixthly, I want you to notice the sacredness of God's call. Look at verse number 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I want you to know, when God begins to call you, when God begins to speak to you, don't you trifle with it. That's holy ground. That's holy ground. When God stops by and speaks to your heart, don't you turn away. Don't you act as though it's insignificant. That's holy ground. It's God calling. It's God speaking. It's holy ground. It's a holy call. God's will for your life and mind is holy ground. You say, oh, you can say that. You're a preacher. But I want you to know God's will for your life is no less important than God's will for my life. God created you and God saved you for a purpose that you might do His will. And God is trying to make known to you His will. Many times God has to put us in the place where He can get our attention so He can convey His call and His will to us. The sacredness of God's call. When God gets man's attention long enough, He'll reveal Himself to the individual. When God gets our attention long enough, He'll reveal His purpose for our life. When God gets man's attention long enough, He'll change that man in such a way he'll never be the same again. Moses was changed from a shepherd on the backside of the desert to the greatest leader in all the Bible except Jesus Christ. And it all happened when God called and Moses said, here am I. Here am I. And then lastly, I want you to know God still calls today. God still calls today. What I'm What I'm reading to you about is not some things that happened only back in Bible days. It happened in my life in 1964. It's happened in Brother Todd's life. It's happened in Brother Donnelly's life. It's happened in Brother Combs' life. It's happened in Brother Reed's life. All of Brother Tom Davis' life. Brother Zach Pollock's life. All at different times, God has called men and women. And the wise ones have said, here am I. Here am I. Here am I. God still calls today. I wonder who will turn aside from the cares of this world to answer God's call. I wonder how many of you would be willing to say tonight, here am I, Lord, for whatever you desire, however you want to use me, here am I. Here am I. You say, but I don't know His will. I have young people all the time saying, preacher, what should I do? I don't know God's will for my life. Why don't you present yourself to God and say, Lord, here am I. Thy will be done. Now then it's up to God to make His will known to you. Once you present yourself, now let me warn you, don't present yourself to God and take it away. I started to say Indian giver, but I'm not going to do that, Brother Jaime. I got in trouble one time for saying that, and I got corrected and told what it really means. That Indian, being an Indian giver, is not referring to Indians making promises to give and taking it back. It's white people and governments making promises to them on the reservations and taking back their promises. So don't be an Indian giver! When God speaks, listen, when God speaks, offer yourself. And if God hasn't spoken yet and you're a Christian, won't you just go ahead and say, Lord, I want to give myself to you. What would you have me to do? That's an honorable thing. I think God gets excited when His children are seeking His will. Not many are, but I believe God gets excited when some do. Why don't you go ahead and take the first step and ask God to reveal His will to you and say, here am I. What does it matter what God wants you to do if it's the purpose and will of God He has designed for your life? What does it matter if it's in Fairbanks, Alaska, where the average temperature in the winter is 30 degrees below zero? You know, they haven't been crying about it. They're rejoicing in it because it's the place of God's will for their life. It's the best place in the world. Doesn't matter what size the church is. If God has called you and put you there, it's God's place for your life. Doesn't matter what the title is. If God has called you and put you there, that's the place of the will of God for your life. Moses said, man, I'm going to turn aside and see that. That's a bush on fire and it's not being consumed. And God saw Moses turn aside. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he spoke to him out of the bush. And Moses said, here am I. And God is still speaking. But where are the Moses today that'll say, here am I? You say, I'm not a Moses. You don't know what you could become if you had learned to say yes to God. You don't know what God has planned for you if you'd say yes to Him. I promise you this. God's plans for you supersede anything you could ever accomplish in your power and your plans. If we'd just learn to say, here am I. I think about people in our church that have served God. I think about Mrs. Friedline in that girls' class all of those years. How many years now? 28 years. Mrs. Lundy teaching her class so faithfully and making a difference. I think about bus workers that have just kept on and kept on and kept on and made a difference. Oh my. What does it matter what it is and where it is if it is the planned will of God for our life? The right thing to do is to say, here am I. Here am I. I don't want to stand in heaven and be known as the man who said no to God. You see, one of these days, we're all going to stand before Him. And we're going to find out quickly we're not as big as we thought we were. When He is eternal, He is ageless, He is omnipotent, He is... what words can you describe God? He's bigger than we can say He is. He's more powerful than we can ever describe. He's more wonderful than we can proclaim. He's more loving than we could ever, ever tell about. And one of these days, we're going to stand before Him. The one that's holy, holy, holy. The one who is truth and just. The one who knows all things. And I don't want to stand before Him and be the cocky little squirt that said, not me. I want to be like Moses and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. He's still speaking today. Are you listening? Father, that's our message tonight. Thank you for this wonderful story in the Word of God. Thank you for showing us what you did with a man's life that said, here am I. And thank you, Father, for all of those years ago when you called my name and I knelt at an altar and said, here am I. Oh, what a journey. What a life. What a blessing. The things that you have done for me and my sweet wife on this wonderful journey. Lord, when she married me, I wasn't a preacher. I didn't know you was calling me to preach. But she stuck by me. And she surrendered her life with me. And what a wonderful journey it's been. And Lord, there's some people here that are going to miss out on that journey, because when you have spoken to their hearts, they've not been willing to say, here am I, here am I. Speak tonight one more time, we ask you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet.